but it comes back around and it hurts the one who throws it. It's a negative energy. It's a negative emotion. And it's that continual life in anger. It creates a hurtful situation. It destroys relationships, your relationship with God, your relationship with people. And these folks feel that their outrage is justified. They cannot be approached. They will not hear it. They will throw up walls. They're not going to listen because they sense that their anger is justified, because letting go of that anger lessens the wrong that was done to them. But holding on to that anger is destructive to both their loved ones and to themselves. And to be spiritually, emotionally, and physically healthy, we have to deal with anger. Now, last week I shared with you the meaning of anger, and I'm going to give the definition again. Anger is a strong feeling of displeasure, hostility, or indignation resulting from a real or imagined threat or insult or frustration or injustice towards ourselves or towards who are important to us. So anger is it's a real displeasure or hostility or indignation that is either from a real situation or something that we imagine to be real. It might be a threat or an insult or frustration or some injustice either towards us or towards someone that's precious to us. Now, the Word of God warns us about anger. He tells, Paul says to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 4, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaker be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ hath forgiven you. So God tells us to let go of anger, let go of bitterness, let go of wrath, and instead be put on kindness, tenderness, and forgiveness. Proverbs 22, we spoke about make no friendships, verse 24 and 25, with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare into thy soul. Anger is contagious, is what Solomon says. And he warns us not to associate with angry people, that those associations with people who are angry, excuse me, it's the method of how anger is passed down and translated from person to person. And yet, we're reminded in Ephesians 4, verse 23, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Not all anger is wrong. The Bible speaks about the wrath of God. God's wrath will wax hot. And anger is legitimate when anger is controlled, when it is justifiable, and when it is unselfish. In other words, when anger is not about us, but about others. When anger is about, it's legitimate when it's controlled and justified and it's unselfish. We ought to be outraged by those who mistreat the elderly. We ought to be outraged by those who mistreat those who are vulnerable, little children who are abused. You've heard about this woman I think she's in Medina, does that not outrage to you? She starved her son, her 10-year-old son, to raise thousands of dollars, pretending that he has cancer, takes a picture of him in the hospital bed, and has starved him to make him poor. A mother does this. Now, that ought to anger you. It ought to anger you when you find out that someone is abusing and physically hurting the elderly, somebody who cannot protect themselves. Things that anger God ought to anger us. Same-sex marriage ought to anger us. Abortion ought to anger us. Things that are wicked and that are wrong that angers God should anger us. Not all anger is wrong. A godly man or a godly woman can express their anger at a right time, in a right way, for the right reason. It's called righteous indignation. But that anger is not about us. It's about God and the principles of God and about others. And that's what it should be about. We ought to be angry at what's going on in this country. We should be disturbed. We ought to be passionate. We ought to be people of principle and people of conviction. It ought to stir us, man. We ought to have some passion. You know, there's some people, nothing bothers them anymore. I'm thinking, am I the only one who's disturbed over this? It's not right. And I gave five questions to determine whether you have an anger issue. Let me give them real quick again. I call it the anger test. I give you five questions. Number one, is my anger directed towards a person? Is my anger without justifiable cause? Number three, does my anger seek to harm another person? Is it directed towards a person? Is it a justifiable cause? Is it seeking to harm another person? Number four, am I holding tightly to my anger? In other words, I'm not going to listen to anyone. I'm not going to reason with anyone about letting go of my anger. Number five, have I allowed my anger to develop an unforgiving spirit in me? Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So we looked, first of all, at the meaning of anger. Number two, I want to talk about how some deal with their anger. How do you deal with your anger? We all have it, but we have to deal with it. In Proverbs 14, verse 29, Solomon says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Those who are flying off the handle, they're the fool. They're the ones who exalt folly. And when anger is not dealt with in a biblical way, it reveals one or more harmful ways or things. Number one, some folks repress their anger. They bury their anger deep, and then they begin to deny, oh, I'm not angry. And usually when people say, I'm not bitter, I'm not angry, I'm thinking, that's a bitter person, and they're mad. When someone comes up to you and says, I'm not going to hurt you, man, you better, what's on his mind? And when someone says, I'm not bitter, now I'm not angry, but I got a few things I want to say. Let me tell you something, they're angry and they're bitter usually. Number two, some folks suppress their anger. They're aware of the presence of anger in their life. However, they internalize it and they with a resentment without realizing the anger is poisoning them. It's destroying them. And people see the change in them, but they don't see it themselves. So they suppress it. They hold it within. Number three, there are some folks who explode their anger. There's a rage and there's an outburst of rage that provides emotional relief. They feel better, but everybody around them, doesn't feel good at all. And they're over it for now, but other people aren't over it for days or weeks or some never get over it. However, that rage always harms others, and it's a deep wound. It can cause tremendous sorrow and great, great wounds that are there. Because they vent their spleen and they feel better, but they've done a lot of damage in their relationship. Number four, some folks will simmer their anger. In other words, they place their anger in an emotional slow cooker and they allow it just to sit there and gradually and continually build. And all of a sudden, it explodes one day. But it just simmers and simmers there. And then fifthly, some folks, they excuse their anger. God has given them a buy and they get a free pass from anger jail. And they choose to control their anger and they do it so by blaming others. They blame others. They will claim that this is just the way God made me. And there are people who accommodate them. I've seen this many times. Well, that's just the way he is. That's dad or that's mom or that's so and so and everybody understands that he'll get over it soon and he'll be okay and that's the way it is and he'll be fine. All the responses to anger can be summed up in seven possibilities. You can blame the responses to anger. They blame others. They blow up. They bury it. They bear it, they belittle it, they grow it or grow bitter, or they can benefit from it. Now, number three, notice the great cost of anger. Listen to me. No man holds anger without paying the price for it. There's always a price. Luke 15, verse 28. The Bible says, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. We're talking about the older son of the prodigal brother. Remember the prodigal who said, Father, give unto me all the things, and he left, went into the far country, and he wasted his substance, and he comes back and he's broken, and the father's rejoicing, and we see the heart of God in this, and he comes out and he puts his arms around the younger son, and he embraces him, he kisses him on the neck, he puts a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, robe over his back. He says, "Kill the fatted calf for this. My son was dead, but now he's alive." And then the older son, the Pharisee son, he throws a fit. What is this music that I hear? And what is this being merry that I have? And you've never killed, you've never sacrificed a kid for me. And he throws a holy fit. He's invited in to be made merry, and his father's heart's rejoicing. His son has come home, but the Bible says, and he was angry and would not go in. So the father had to come out and plead with his son. He's begging his son to be rejoicing and to be happy, and he refuses to do so. He has all kinds of accusations, and he says hurtful things about the younger son, just for the purpose. He didn't enlighten the father on these things. He just said it for the purpose to hurt the father with these things. So anger hinders your relationship with God and with others. There's a great cost. And you can't harbor anger in your heart and be right with God. You can't do it. No one gets a bye. Anger breaks your connections with others. Anger is usually self-centered, so it damages your relationships. Anger creates a critical spirit. This negativity is around you. It's a part of you. It robs your peace. Anger makes you feel isolated. You feel all alone. All alone. It makes you a very difficult person to be around. People see you coming, and they don't want to be around you alone. They don't know when something's going to push your buttons and you're going to explode. The angry man, he pushes people away because of the negative energy that he has. He cannot articulate himself, or he feels like he can articulate his point and then explodes if you don't accept his point. He feels isolated. Number four, anger leaves you feeling empty. Instead of having the emotions of love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, and gentleness, instead the angry man has lonesomeness and fear and frustration and discontent and rage. Fifthly, anger blocks your focus. It distracts you and often leads to procrastination. I think it brings a lot of depression as well, of being motivated and being out there getting things done. Number six, anger creates physical problems. Our body is not made to store anger and rage. I'm not talking about getting angry over something. I'm talking about living with anger. And our body's not designed to function to have continual hostility and bitterness. We can't live in a hostile world like that and function physically or emotionally along very well. This kind of emotional tension leads to all types of multiple health issues. And then seventh, anger always leads to hurt and sadness. The sad truth is anger hurts others, especially those who are in your closest circle, whom you love the most. Fourthly, there's biblical ways to deal with anger. In Proverbs 19, verse 11, the Bible says, "The discretion of a man, the wisdom of a man, deferreth his anger." The word deferreth means he draws it out or delays his anger. And it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Now, God is our example in deferring anger. And God's not quick with anger. In Isaiah 48, verse 6, the Bible says, "For my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off." In Psalm 78, verse 38, the Bible says, "But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath." So God is the example of us in how we are to deal with our anger. So we are responsible for dealing with our anger because anger is costly. It makes you ungodly. It makes you foolish. It makes you unproductive. It makes you unhealthy. We have to deal with our anger. How do we deal with it? I'll give you 8 thoughts and I'll be done. Number one, we have to identify why we're angry. Why are we so angry? We have to examine our lives and determine the cause for that angry feeling. Number two, we have to confess our anger as sin, just as drunkenness or anything else. We can't justify it. We've got to call it for what it is. Acknowledge our anger, call it sin, instead of denying it and trying to bury it. Realize it's a problem. Number three, we have to clarify our feelings. We need to understand what's behind the anger. Determine the core of that rage. Your anger may be due because of your hurt, because you were betrayed, because you were rejected, because of the offense of others, because of some unwanted circumstances that came your way. A lot of times, good people, good godly, good Christian people get angry because things didn't work out, and they're angry at God because it didn't work out on their page that they thought. And they thought, you know, God, I've ran bus routes, and I've taught Sunday school, and I've lived godly, and I've done all this stuff, and then all I wanted was this right here, and that didn't happen, and now, and they're angry. Like some little child in the corner. Now this, God is God, and God can do whatever He wants to do. Clarify your feelings. Number four, we need to deal with our anger quickly. Why? The longer we hold on to anger, the greater the hostility builds within us, and the more we feel justified to protect the presence of anger and to defend the right to be offended. And that is key. We need to deal with it immediately. I think we all here have known people who have been angry at someone, and we know maybe you knew the other party who was angry at them too, and they hadn't talked in 15 years, and neither one of them remember the reason why. They just know they're angry. Deal with it quickly. Number five, take an emotional time out. What do you mean by that? I mean, stop and pray, Lord, I'm angry. How do I need to deal with this? What do you want me to do on this? I mean, stop right dead in your tracks and say, I'm not going another 5 feet until I deal with this anger. I'm not going to go the rest of the day with this, with these feelings and this stuff. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Number six, put your anger, put it away. Take it off. Take off your anger. And put on humility. A lot of anger is driven by pride. They know who I am. They know about me. Who do they think they are? And I'm going to tell you this. The only way anger can be taken off is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way we rid ourselves of anger is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Begin each day, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Number seven, replace your anger. Take that negative energy and turn it into something productive. Go find something good to do for somebody. I mean, physically, go do something good. Go find something. Go find somebody who's got sick children. Go find a couple who's struggling. Go rake someone's yard. Go take somebody food. Go repair someone's dryer. Find something good to do for somebody. Take that instead of sitting there, and I mean just being full of anger and rage. Replace your anger. And then number eight, determine to benefit from anger. Anger is a signal from God God's made us this way, but it's a signal that something's wrong. Something's not right when we're angry. And we need to heed the warnings of God on how to handle anger. And we need a purpose in our hearts to prevent from storing anger. We're going to get angry. Let me ask you something. Be honest. How many of you can get angry over something at least once a week? Now, I'm being really, really, some of you are looking, are you kidding me? Okay. How many of you can get angry at least twice a week? Okay. I'm surprised at the lack of anger over, righteous indignation over purposes and principles of things. But it just shows how selfish we are. When something treads on us, now we get all hot and bothered under the collar. Or if someone, I don't care if they step on me, but they step on my darling, if it's about someone that we love. We need the purpose in our hearts to prevent anger from storing. We get anger when it comes, deal with it. Let it go. Don't store it. Never allow anger to snare you. Can I be honest? Will you be honest with me tonight? Be honest with me tonight. I'll be 57 pretty soon. Some of you hadn't gotten that old. Some of you are way past that. How many of you have ever had anger snare you before? Yeah. I'm not talking about I got mad for an hour or a day. I've been snared by it. I got to tell you, anger was one of those situations that's passed down to me. The thing is, we don't get mad, we get even. No, we get mad and we get even. Ask the Lord, God, person hurt me, that person hurt my child, that person hurt my grandchild, that person hurt my wife. Help me be a Christian in this. Help me be like you. Help me to defer my anger. Help me to be full of mercy. Help me to forgive their iniquity. Help me to turn away my wrath and not to stir up my wrath. Ask the Lord to make you Christian. Just because you say you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. We need to be Christ-like. What does a Christian demonstrate? Godliness, love, kindness, and understanding. Now, three questions and I'm done. Have you experienced the destructive force of anger in relationships? Number two, how have you handled the angry emotion when something upsets you? See, I think a lot of us, or some of us maybe, I remember seeing when I was a child, when people got angry, they threw ashtrays and wrenches and had all types of adjectives and adverbs with it. But some of us are Christians, so we don't throw things, and we don't use adjective or adverbs. We don't do that, but we still have those feelings. So we feel better because, I don't throw ashtrays and wrenches, And I don't use those words, those adjectives and adverbs, but we still have those feelings. So just because it's not outward doesn't mean we're right on the inside. We have to deal with it. And then thirdly, what ways has God spoken to you regarding your anger and hostile feelings towards another? What are they? Stand with me. Father, help us in these last days where people are angry and they are in a rage. Christian people, help us, please, to deal with our anger. For we know if we don't deal with it, the angry attitude will make us ungodly, foolish, unproductive, and unhealthy. It will destroy our relationship with you and with others. Help us to deal with it. Help us not to justify it. Give us victory. And in these last days, where people have no self-control and where they're fierce, and while people are scoffing and heaping treasures, and while it's dangerous times, may you pour your spirit out upon us, and may anger not prohibit it, the Spirit of God from working in our lives. Heads bowed and eyes closed. What are you mad about? Now listen, don't sit there right now and repress it, suppress it. Don't sit there and excuse it. Don't simmer it. You desperately need to identify it. You need to confess it, clarify it, deal with it quickly. And ask God to help you to be Christian. Lord, help us to be so. In Jesus' name. Why don't you come tonight as God deals in your heart? Come on. Thank you.